enjoy the related delicacies until you and or your doctor say it's safe. It's good to know that, particularly in the last stages of pregnancy, semen contains a chemical that can bring on the dilation of the cervix in preparation for the baby's birth. That information may make you cautious now, but when your due date is come and gone, you'll be begging for some of that stuff. The genie is out of the bottle. One pleasant emotional benefit of pregnant sex is that there is no longer any need to worry about getting pregnant. I know that sounds like nonsense, but even if you were really intending to get pregnant, you might still have felt some ambivalence. Once conception has occurred, however, you will relax and stop second-guessing yourself, especially if you have learned your surrender lesson from earlier in this girlfriend's guide. After 15 years of worrying about my birth control failing me, it was such a relief not to have to give it a thought. The barn door had been left open, the cow had escaped, and now I can leave the door open and have a fine old time swinging on it. If you relied on birth control methods that required goopy spermicides or condoms or other slippery stuff, you and yours are in for a treat. Because everyone is entitled, encouraged, to march to the beat of his or her own drummer, I feel obligated to mention those people who say they find the absence of the fear of pregnancy to have a dampening effect. These are the thrill seekers, the drama junkies, the people who get a little high when the stakes are too. Lots of these people are guys who like extreme sports, where death is a possibility and serious harm is a given. But just as many are girls, the ones who like a guy who doesn't always call when he says he will, or who has strange text messages from people named Horny Baby, or Moan For Me. These are the people who are turned on by the sexual Russian roulette of wondering each time if they escaped pregnancy. Now that they are caught, they need a moment to figure out the next obvious risk, to keep the adrenaline flowing. I have a suggestion. How about getting health insurance in your name and your mate's and trying to give the baby a mom and a dad? Just a crazy thought. Just as I know plenty of drama junkies, I know an equal number of people, usually women, who think the conception of a baby is the only real reason to have sex in the first place. Sure, it's fun and something to do on a Friday night, but that's just the appetizer before the entree, reproduction. When these people, girlfriends, discover they are pregnant, they find any sexual overtures from their mate inconvenient at best, and at worst, well, redundant. To them, pregnancy means 9-10 months of having not to shave their legs. I call this the precious vessel approach towards gestation. These gals do not want to be messed with in any physical way, besides foot massages and shoulder rubs, until the baby arrives and is weaned. Unfortunately, many of these girlfriends are hooked up with men who find this as good a time as any to consider an affair. If the affair stuff is actually a relief to you, then bless you and yours. I guess you could say that everyone is getting his or her needs met. But if it's driving a stake of terror into you, this might be the time to smile pretty and dust off those faking orgasm skills. The potent seed and the fertile soil. Another positive emotional reaction to the news that you are pregnant is the booster shot to a couple's sense of potency and fecundity. Rare is the man who fails to puff up his chest with pride when told he has impregnated his woman. Men just love to know that the howitzer is in good working order and that it's shooting live ammo. As long as there have been babies, there have been men and women who feel such pride that it seems as if they hold the patent on the process. My girlfriend Taylor got so earth mothery and sensual when she learned she was pregnant that visiting her at her home meant being greeted by Buddhist wind chimes and world music. She always had some foul herbal tea brewing that she delighted in drinking over ice with a cinnamon stick. Being in her proximity started to feel like being a voyeur to her sexual witchcraft. And I couldn't take it for long, but I was always in awe of her and her luxuriant sexual satisfaction. If her partner came home when I was there, I would bolt for the door because he would enter like Zeus uniting with Hera, and I felt like a mortal who could not witness such things. They were gods on Mount Olympus, delighting over their coupling and eager to plow those mighty fields again and again. I was kind of grossed out, but that's just me. Multiple personality disorder, anyone? The thing that amazed my girlfriends about me and the emotional life of pregnant women, particularly where sex was concerned, was the intensity of all the emotions you feel and the rapidity with which they change. You may spend the entire day fantasizing about wild animal sex with your partner, to the point where you chew off all your fingernails waiting for him to meet you at home. Then, when he finally arrives and starts going through the mail instead of studying the ultrasound photos that you just got without him at your morning appointment and have lovingly placed on the front door, you start screaming that this is one more undeniable sign that he is indifferent to you and the baby. By the time he has calmed you down and you go whimpering into the bathroom to refresh yourself and consider whether you're still horny, you've fallen asleep in the tub and he's pulling you out before you drown. It's all as if your emotional engine is stuck at fourth gear and running full throttle all the time. You don't build up to a feeling so much as arrive at it, going 90 miles an hour. Worse yet, your brakes are no good and you're not sure if the power steering works. Just as a pregnant woman is never just a little bit hungry, she is never just mildly interested in sex, and she doesn't just get a tad impatient with his inability to anticipate and react properly to her moods. She is a savage, and she will not be denied. According to my unscientific survey for this girlfriend's guide, the split is about 60-40 between pregnant women who become more sexual and those who become almost completely uninterested. Of course, if you're a guy, you won't believe me, but what else is new? We girlfriends can play the game, and we do so when it suits us. You will probably never know what we're thinking when we're doing that. Anyway, back to the matter at hand. My girlfriend Tracy felt constantly aroused while pregnant, and the father of her baby was more than happy to oblige her appetites. Thinking back on it, however, Tracy was what I now call a geisha wife. She was such a man-pleaser that she would have made herself feel hot even if her feet were packed in ice. Then there was my girlfriend, Tawny, who was completely distracted by her pregnancy and didn't much notice if she was having sex or not. But because her mate was always turned on by her, they kept it pretty active. To this day, I don't know if she recalls any of it. As for me, I vividly recall stalking my husband for sexual fulfillment as soon as my morning sickness passed. I would linger near the front door or surprise him in the garage. Funny, now that I think of it, he always had a slightly fearful expression in those days. And he was mighty jumpy, too. Mr. Sandman, bring me a dream. By the second trimester of my pregnancies, I thought about sex almost constantly. And when I wasn't thinking about it, I was dreaming about it. Let me tell you, these dreams were absolutely fantastic. The erotic fantasy life I enjoyed during REM sleep convinced me that progesterone is a psychedelic. I'm not just talking about your ordinary sex dream where you and Brad Pitt are on the train together, entering a tunnel. I'm talking about really lifelike dreams where you're not only watching yourself have sex, but you're feeling it. And it's not just with movie idols, old boyfriends, or your own partner, but with just about any man or woman you saw that day. For me, that can mean my UPS guy, the manager at Whole Foods, or even friends of my husband's. Taste and propriety were no concerns for my somnolent life. Although I did feel icky when my minister showed up in one of my dreams with a lean and hungry look on his face, I confess that I still find a robe and collar to be a turn-on, which is weird with all the priestly pedophilia that's come out since then. David Letterman also came to me several times in my dreams. Sure, he might seem chilly and distant to you, but when I fall asleep to his show night after night, I thawed him out just fine. I'm just glad I never watched the O'Reilly Factor on Fox at that time of night. While the dreams were pretty great, I still haven't told you the best part. And for this, I'm willing to swear on a stack of Dave's top 10 lists. I frequently experience full and actual physical orgasm in these dreams. On my honor as a girlfriend. And I've learned I'm not the only one who was blessed with this divine ability. Other girlfriends have shyly come forward with similar tales. The first time it happened to me, I woke up thinking there had to be an earthquake. After all, I live in California. It was such a jolt that I scared my dog, Laika, who was lying beside my bed. Best of all, it wasn't completely over yet, so I knew that this baby was the real thing. It wasn't a dream about an orgasm. It was an orgasm, and I was still feeling it. Aren't you happy for me, girlfriends? I woke up shuddering and then wanting a cigarette, all with no hands and no assistance. God, I missed that. Actually, I usually woke up wanting more, and I would shake my husband awake and rub up against him in hopes of helping him catch up with me. When I shared this secret with a friend, a man, over a giddy lunch, the idea for this book was born. He slapped the table and got so excited, he called a literary agent right there from the restaurant and said, "Bookie, you are never going to believe what Vicky Lovine just told me about her pregnant dreams. This is a dream of a different sort, but I digress." Ready, willing, and able. Those women who are not completely put off by sex while pregnant will probably find that they are much more interested now. More interested than they've been since those makeout sessions in steamy cars and mile-high clubs encounters with total strangers. One of the most logical explanations for a pregnant woman's increased lust is her copious hormonal surges and the engorgement of her sexual organs. The organs are more easily stimulated if we're in the right headspace, and the owners of those organs follow their lead. When you're pregnant, your labia, like your nipples, not only become darker in color and more sensitive, they get progressively more engorged with blood. Wait, I need a drink of water before I can continue with this. Isn't this fun? Okay, back to what I was saying. This engorgement is like what happens when you are sexually aroused. If you don't believe us, girlfriend, get yourself a hand mirror and check for yourself. Kinda gives a new meaning to the phrase power walking, doesn't it? The titty fairy. My girlfriend Sandra's husband calls the rapid growth spurt of a pregnant woman's breasts the arrival of the titty fairy. He hit on an apt metaphor because their metamorphosis seemed to happen almost overnight. After your first missed period, you will probably notice some swelling and soreness, but the breasts seem familiarly premenstrual. No big deal. But in about another month, you will wake up one morning to find that they have really become bigger, to the point where your bras no longer fit, and you have cleavage where you've never had it before. We girlfriends have all noticed that this change in size and, well, ripeness seems to happen suddenly and dramatically, especially in this surreal state of being. And then our breasts continue to grow for the rest of the first trimester. For those of us who don't normally have much to begin with, this is a gift that keeps on giving. Eventually, our bust line is outpaced by our bellies, and their ripeness is less dramatic than before. But until then, it's like a piñata party, and we're the ones filled with candy. Early in your pregnancy, especially if this is your first, you will have 2 or 3 months when the rest of your body looks fairly normal, but your breasts are heavy and full, just like the heaving ones they describe in romance novels. I've yet to hear a man who wasn't deeply moved by this development. Yeah, I know. Another pun. More important, I haven't yet to hear of a girlfriend who wasn't equally moved. As we have discussed, at this point your breasts will be particularly sensitive. You might want to point this biological fact out to your mate, since his enthusiastic delight in them might make you want to holler in pain. After your appreciative partner has been properly sensitized to the need for a light touch, you may actually find this breast sensitivity to be erotic. Some of my girlfriends have reported being able to climax through breast stimulation alone. But a word of caution. As you get near your delivery date, breast stimulation can bring on or intensify labor. Yes, it's true. Nipple twisting is actually recommended by your granola pregnancy books as an organic oxytocin stimulator. Oxytocin is the natural chemical that induces labor. Mother Nature is a genius, isn't she? Your doctor may give you the pharmaceutical equivalent, Pitocin, to speed up your labor when the time comes. Anyway, accept this as a cautionary intelligence and talk to your doctor about it if you have concerns about premature labor or miscarriage. Conversely, if your due date has come and gone and you're impatiently awaiting your baby's arrival, stimulate and twist to your heart's content. The side benefit of all this breast handling is that it toughens up your nipples in preparation for nursing. By the way, in case you're not reading this girlfriend's guide in chapter order, I will take the opportunity again to tell you to rock on with your big breasts. In fact, consider getting some artful pregnancy nudes taken, because after you have finished gestating and nursing, your twins will be much smaller and far less perky. If this is news to you, I am sorry. But if your girlfriends won't tell you the truth, who will? Besides, if and when you get pregnant again, the piñata party begins again. Oral sex. Oral sex is almost always fun, and it should continue to be so during pregnancy, especially when intercourse is problematical. But you should know about a few physiological changes so that you and your partner can be prepared. For example, the engorgement of your sexual organs and their change in color might not be noticeable to your mate during intercourse, but during oral sex, the changes really are in his face. It would probably be a good idea to mention this casually before he notices them, because surprise is not always an aphrodisiac. You would be very considerate if you also prepped him for the change in your flavor down there, if he hasn't already tasted it for himself. There is some scientific explanation for this, having to do with the uterine lining going from alkaline to acidic, or vice versa. And it's completely normal. I didn't know a thing about this until my girlfriend Susie, who has 3 kids now, told me that her husband could always tell she was pregnant even before she suspected it herself by his discriminating taste. Talk about a home pregnancy test. Bigger and bigger and bigger. One thing that always seemed unfair to me was that as I grew increasingly interested in sex, I also just plain grew. Loving as my husband is, I knew there came a point when having sex with me was more a mercy mission than an act of passion. Not that I cared at the time. Look, everyone is different, but a significant number of men are not really turned on by partners who weigh more than they do and eat twice as much as they do. As I have mentioned, when I was pregnant with my second child, I had some spotting in my 3rd month. My doctor advised that I forego intercourse for 4 to 6 weeks. Naturally, I opted to forego it for 7 weeks, just to be safe. When I was first benched, I was still reasonably trim and sexy. But by the time I felt it was safe to have sex again, I had unknowingly begun to resemble a character from Fantasia. Naively, I parked our firstborn with my girlfriend and began my preparations for the big reunion. I washed and hot rolled my hair, put on enough makeup to appear in the chorus of Hairspray, and slipped into, tugged on, a silk camisole and matching panties. Well, I might as well have opened a parasol and walked the high wire for how much I looked like the ballerino hippos in the Disney classic. My husband was so struck by the sight that his normal sense of self-preservation escaped him, and he laughed uncontrollably at me. His funny bone was so deeply and genuinely struck that he was willing to risk his life to indulge it. He still gets a tear in his eye when he remembers it. My experience is not universal, however. Some men just love their women fat and sassy and are totally turned on by their big, beautiful baby mamas. My girlfriend Shannon tells me that, as far as her mate was concerned, the bigger she was, the better he liked her. He would whoop and holler during sex with her, just like a cowboy on his bronco. Her gigantic breasts and big booty were as inviting as any living thing could be. He particularly enjoyed talking nasty to her during sex because it felt scandalous to him to talk that way to a mother. No more missionary style. During the first 4 months of pregnancy, almost any sexual position works. The only real hazards are those ever-sensitive breasts we've talked about. They can't often bear the pressure of a man lying on them. Later, as the belly grows, having sex can be like playing Twister. It becomes so challenging to accommodate the bumps, curves, and sensitive spots. You will eventually discover 2 disagreeable things about the old man on top, woman on her back missionary style. First, lying flat on your back forces the baby to rest on one of your major arteries, thereby cutting off your circulation and making you feel faint. Second, the full belly between you and your partner can make frontal penetration nearly impossible, unless your partner has a 24-inch penis. In which case he should consider charging stud fees. Sometime in the middle of the pregnancy, a lot of couples move on to the position quaintly known as doggy style. This is where the woman is on her hands and knees and the man is behind her. Most of my girlfriends agree that this position can allow the husband to penetrate too deeply, so if it is not practiced with restraint, it can hurt. A popular variation on that theme is what we call spoons, and we girlfriends recommend it wholeheartedly. In this position, the man and woman lie on their sides, facing the same direction. It's cuddly, it gives a lot of skin-to-skin sensation, and you can hold a pillow between your knees and hips for support if you want to. More about the girlfriend's affection for their pillows later in the girlfriend's guide. Good old sexy Shannon shared with me a position that I have found pure genius. It was so good, in fact, that I mentioned it to Marianne the other day, and now she's a convert too. Shannon and her partner loved having sex in their bathroom. In fact, if the legend is true, one of her kids was conceived in the sacred room. She would lean over the sink and he would come up behind her. The positioning was just right to admire the reflections in the mirror and do the deed. As an added bonus, the sink and counter came up to just the right height to hide her biggest parts and highlight the girls to their best advantage. Hey, if you can brush your teeth at the same time, there's no end to the multitasking that can be done. The big O. I've saved the best for last. And I bet you thought the sleeping orgasm was as good as it could possibly get, right? Now we talk about the pregnant orgasm. Wouldn't you just know that it would be different from a non-pregnant one? Orgasm is such a hard thing to describe and quantify, but I'll endeavor to do my best for my girlfriends. After hundreds of hours of discussion with my girlfriends on this subject, one of our favorites, we have consensus on three major points. First, if you are at all interested in sex, you can now get aroused much more quickly than ever before. Second, even though you are easily aroused, it will probably take you longer than before to achieve an orgasm. And third, you should take all the extra time you need because the pregnant orgasm is even more profound, longer lasting, and accompanied by more aftershocks than any you've ever experienced before. While the initial impact is now measurable on the Richter scale, you will have more that are strong enough to be considered measurable earthquakes themselves. Sometimes these aftershocks can be a little scary because they cause your uterus to seriously contract. Talk to your doctor about it, but most doctors are a little envious of your condition. And they'll probably agree that your pregnancy can take this kind of tossing and turning and more. Chapter 10, Looking the Best You Can. Fashion. In the first edition of this book, I wrote something to the effect that the road to fashion hell began at the door of a maternity clothing store. I didn't hear much disagreement from readers, but the maternity fashion, previously an oxymoron, industry was mightily offended. One of the biggies refused to carry any of my books in its stores for a decade. Well, several visits to maternity stores during the last year of my research for this updated girlfriend's guide, particularly those sharing a building in Midtown Manhattan across from the Four Seasons Hotel, have led me to reconsider my statement. I'm not exactly offering an olive branch, but I am willing to acknowledge what a difference a decade makes. Water shouldn't roll off your clothes. First of all, the fabrics have vastly improved, at least in the more pricey stores. You used to be able to run through a maternity store with a torch and never start a fire because all of the fabrics just melted into plastic puddles. Everything from faux denim jeans to faux linen suits had a shininess that just screamed polyester. Not anymore, my girlfriends. Cotton, that wonderful, soft, absorbent, and breathable material, is all over the place now. Even organic cottons, meaning that they weren't treated with pesticides or other chemicals during growth and processing, can be found in some chain stores and boutiques. Silks and linens abound too, although most girlfriends agree that these wrinkle beyond recognition and are best worn in air conditioning. Best of all is the introduction of fabric blends that combine the comfort and drape of naturals with the fit, wrinkle resistance, and cleaning ease of synthetics. And no shine in sight unless expressively intended. So if chiffons or gauzes or wool plaids are in fashion for the non-preggers of the world, they could be in fashion for you too. Dolce & Gabbana, Fendi, and then Donna Karan. They be sharing. Second, non-maternity fashion designers and manufacturers now cater to the stylish mommies-to-be. Everybody from Diane von Furstenberg to St. John to Versace has outfitted an expectant celebrity. Remember Angelina in those gray and black suits when she attended summits at the United Nations? How about Catherine Zeta-Jones in all that black silk, boobies riding high and proud, accepting her Academy Award for Chicago while practically in labor? Gwen Stefani, who is already a fashion designer, came up with some of her best designs to clothe herself at the Grammys, and the zillions of other photo ops, intentional or not, that besiege stars these days. There were Jennifer Gardner and Gwyneth Paltrow and Heidi Klum, simultaneously gestating and walking the red carpets and streets of L.A. and New York. Any garmento with half a brain for marketing had to realize that these fashionistas would need to be outfitted during their reproductions, as well as during their film or record productions, and that their tastes were just as discriminating. Besides, as anyone who's ever seen signage on city buses knows, big things that move around town provide good opportunities to advertise. So if Britney found a cute t-shirt at Kitson's, the rest of the world would notice within a couple of days and just have to have it. The elephant in the room. The third big change in maternity fashion, and to me, the most revolutionary of all, is the celebration of the bump. 10 years ago, the thought of wearing a little white tee that hugs the bust and belly and stops just below the navel with the printed message "knocked up" was sure to elicit remarks like, "That's just gross," or "No one needs to see all that." Until the last few years, maternity clothes were designed to hide and camouflage the baby factory. Rather like a termite tent, keeping the whole messy structure under wraps. We seem to be saying, "I'll just get over this as quickly as possible and with minimal fuss or muss." Now, fashion seems to be agreeing with the girlfriends that this attitude is a recipe for personality disintegration, or at least for getting really, really resentful. Recently, while getting my hair blown out, I was eye level with the belly of my pregnant stylist, Zoe. I could clearly see her tattoo, which used to sit right above her bikini, but was now stretched out like the writing on a party balloon. I could also see the hole in her belly button, where she'd removed her piercing because the gold ring wouldn't stay in as her button started reversing from an innie to an outie. She had on a muscle tee and some cotton gauchos, with a rollover top that rolled under her tanned and tatted belly. She looked positively adorable and so hip. She seemed to be perfectly appropriate and upfront about what was going on with her, and it freed me to ask when she was due, which I'm usually too frightened to do in case I've guessed wrong. There it was for all to see, a baby that Zoe didn't expect but welcomed, as did her boyfriend. No stories about being almost engaged and not telling anyone until their parents knew. It was a fait accompli, and it was nearly poking me in the eye. I so admired its candor. Speaking of candor, my girlfriend Cammy recently found an amazing dress online to wear to an LBDP, little black dress party. It was sheared in a thin, gauzy black material that hugged her body down to her knees. Of course, being 5'9" helped her pull this off. I would have looked as wide as I was tall in the same dress. It showed off her bump, boobs, and booty and accentuated the curve in her back and under her belly, too. Now that's a bold statement from any angle, and sure to shock her parents and in-laws, but she was spectacular. This body consciousness is the natural extensions of girlfriends who grew up with the juicy sweats or hardtails, and it's irresistible for its lack of fussiness. Fussiness used to be synonymous with pregnancy, and it's nice to see it go. I've even noticed stylish girls intentionally violating the first pregnancy fashion rule of accessorizing by belting full dresses and tops under their belly. I remember trying that with my first pregnancy when I was in that in-between stage, where my maternity clothes were too big and my regular clothes were too small, and I was trying to control all the fabric in my black collared neck dress with a chic little raffia belt below my belly. My husband sat quietly on the bed, watching me get more flustered, frantic, and sweaty, trying to find a look good enough to let me leave the house for a couple of hours without eliciting giggles and guffaws. Finally, he couldn't contain himself another moment and burst out laughing. "It looks like you've closed a volleyball up in your beach umbrella," he roared as he ran quickly to the bathroom. "Coward." Little did I know my impetuous and desperate attempt to present myself as a still fashionable woman would someday be vindicated, if only for a moment. Fashionable and fit, or dress like it. One of the best things to happen to mommies-to-be was the yoga movement. Sure, yoga is a good form of fitness and relaxation for girlfriends, whether they're pregnant or not, but more important are the soft, stretchy clothes that come along with its practice. Don't hate the playa, you yoga-nistas. I've already confessed my reservations about exercise and pregnancy in Chapter 8. Kirstie Turlington came out with her clothing line during her yogic maternity years, and the forgiving stretch pants with roll-over tops and slightly flared legs that fashionable yoganists adopted were addictive to the rest of us, who were pregnant and still doing our sun salutes and downward dogs. Yoga girls in their prime often wear a crop top or sports bra to complete their ensemble. And pregnant girls like Kirstie Turlington probably do too. The more human among us wear the same outfit, but put a long cotton tee or tunic over it. Anything that doesn't fall over our heads to smother us while doing handstands. As if. The look has made its way beyond yoga studios to chai tea latte pickups, a coffee bean and tea leaf, and then on to other errands. The clothes are so soft and stretchy and forgiving that if most pregnant women had their way, they'd probably wear the same kind to work and dinner and to the theater. Even now when I'm not pregnant, I crave sweats and other workout clothes that don't bind or wedge or chafe. And so do my girlfriends. What about those of us with real jobs? As much as fashion has responded to the chic pregnant celebrities, it still has some work to do in the world of women who are in business, medicine, law, sales, and services besides making babies. If we all lived at the beach, wore flip-flops or platform sandals, and could show up at work in clothes so sheer that our bras were considered part of the fashion statement, we'd be pretty well taken care of. But most of the cute stuff is overtly sexual, or long and sheer and romantic, in a Malibu by the way of the Hamptons sort of way. And wonderful as jeans by Seven for All Mankind and Page Premium are, when hitched under the belly, or with a panel over the belly, unless it's casual Friday and dog patch, jeans are not generally considered the most direct way to break through the glass ceiling. As a criminal attorney, my girlfriend Rebecca is always meticulous in her dress. She says that her job is to look professional and pull together without creating any distractions from the case at hand with loud prints or colors or too much skin. Try pulling that look off pregnant. While representing a client in court, Becca liked fitted jackets with skirts or trousers with a flat ballerina-type shoe or modest pump or boot. She is also apt to sweat profusely during her second and third trimesters as her crockpot of a belly makes her hotter and hotter, so she needs fabrics that can breathe and absorb some of the dampness. At first, she made do with her old styles and larger sizes. But by the time she got the jacket back from the tailor, who'd shortened the sleeves of the size 10 she'd just bought, her back and boobs had put on another layer of fuel, and she looked like the Incredible Hulk as she stretched the armhole. Or the bigger pants could fasten around her belly, only if she pulled them up over the bump, thereby creating a wedgie that was unbearable, not to mention unattractive. Or else pulled them below it and risked losing them if she let go of her tummy contraction for a moment. That's when she turned to maternity fashions and called me, crying on her cell to ask for some direction. Obviously, she didn't want to buy a whole new wardrobe that she'd wear for no more than 6 months, but she didn't also want to show up in the same outfit every single day. What was a girlfriend to do? Separates. That's what we do. We build a core group comprising a dress, a skirt, pants, two or three tops, and a couple of jackets or wraps in complementary colors and call it a day. There used to be a kit, much like those bed-in-a-bag sets of linens, that included a tunic, a tee, a skirt, and some pants, all made out of a knit fabric, and the whole shebang was either black, brown, or gray, as I recall. Macy's used to sell them, but I haven't seen them in years. Baby Style has taken the same idea and identified the 5 or 6 pieces of clothing that every mommy-to-be should have, such as a jean, a wrap dress, a tunic, and a pretty top and pants, and has shown variations on that theme to fit each woman's taste and wardrobe specifics. Best of all, these basics are not all the same drab color as the belly basics used to be. Keep in mind that all of these pieces are maternity, not just bigger sizes of regular fashions. So even if tunics are fashionable for everybody this season, don't expect even the loosest, non-maternity ones to fit you for long. You're better off with one made of a t-shirt, cotton that drapes fetchingly, and has room in front for your growing belly and boobs, as well as your booty, which will be wanting some cover of its own. Same with the wrap dresses. Ubiquitous as they are these days, do buy those made expressively for pregnancy. This will spare you the fashion don'ts of too much cleavage and a hem that rides up in front. In maternity fashion, the rule is there's a place for everything and everything in its place, and that applies to all body parts. Pregnancy fashion challenges. Air. We need air. It takes a lot of calorie burning to manufacture a baby or two in one's belly. And all that burning leads to a noticeable rise in a pregnant gal's core body temperature. On an episode of Grey's Anatomy, a pregnant doctor says that unborn boys burn 10% more calories than girls do. So moms of little boys can really feel steam heat. And yes, I do get a lot of my attention from television, but only from the professionals. Add that to the unpredictable fluctuations of temperature caused by the ebbs and flows of hormones through your body, and you have the recipe for a private greenhouse effect. Not only do you have the predictable sweat under the arms, but for those of us who are formerly flat-chested, there is the wondrous and weird experience of feeling rivulets dripping down between our big new breasts. Some of us even find moisture collecting under a bust line when we lift them up to scratch or marvel in their weight. And even if most girls don't like to talk about such indignities, if taking a lie detector test, we'd all have to confess to the occasional sweat between our chafing thighs. Another consideration, just between us girls, is a pregnant woman's increased vaginal and occasionally breast secretions. As my girlfriend Greta remarked recently, nobody tells you how damp and swollen everything gets, and I mean everything. Well, we're telling you now. Just writing this has me reaching for a paper fan and cotton panties. Now you can see why natural absorbent fabrics that breathe are so welcome in today's maternity fashions. Even in the dead of winter, you will want to feel a bit of a breeze whenever possible. Start with the garments closest to your skin, panties, bras, and undershirts. These are where you want cotton and plenty of it. Even if you're still wearing your thongs, make sure that at least the lining is cotton, or wear a breathable mini pad. It's great to be able to wear sexy maternity jeans by all the hip designers, but you may find that all that stands between you and my collag cream is cotton. By the way, yeast infections are particularly common during pregnancy, and you should never use any over-the-counter treatments without talking to your obstetrician. But I digress. Cat scratch fever. Another phenomenon of pregnancy is the urge to scratch your belly and boobs. I don't know where the urge comes from, but my girlfriends and all reported the sublime feeling at the end of the day of taking off all binding clothes and having a good stretch and scratch. I, the descendant of Irish and Norwegian people, who are mentally challenged, would look as if I made it to the Wolverine by the time I was finished. The urge was irresistible, no matter what fabrics I'd worn, but I did notice that the itching was exacerbated by synthetic fibers that bound me under my breasts or across my belly in the form of elastic. I recommend that, in addition to getting new professionally fitted bras during pregnancy, girlfriends get their foundations in cotton, or at least cotton blends. Hey, if you're buying new bras every couple of months anyway, or you should be, you might as well sacrifice some of the itchy lacy bits for the next few months. The cotton wife beater, or whatever you call thin, sleeveless t-shirts in your neck of the woods, is heaven's most recent fashion gift to mommies-to-be. Everybody, pregnant or not, layers her tops these days, and the plain white tee is the universal primary layer. You may have to look for slightly roomier and longer versions of the old standby, but it will still be your fashion friend. With the cotton tee close to your skin, any layer will be fine. Go ahead and get the taffeta ruffles, the satin blends, or the rayons that look so cute and spunky and feel safe and comfortable in the second skin that cotton provides. If the baby is in my belly, why is my booty so big? After 4 trips up and down the maternity mountain, I've realized that my fantasy of being pregnant took me only into the second trimester. I was so impatient during the first trimester to have a real bump, one that looked undeniably pregnant rather than like bloat or too many biscuits in my gravy. But I never realized that the bump was often accompanied by the butt, the boobs, the arms, the face, and the legs. If my belly were the only thing to grow, I could have embraced my low-rise jeans and got a couple of longer shirts and called it a day. But for me, pregnancy was a full-body experience. I was pregnant from my glowing face to my disappearing ankles. There wasn't much to do about the face except rely on girlfriends to keep me from cutting my hair into a Rosemary's Baby pixie in a moment of hormone-induced hysteria. My upper arms, however, were a crisis unto themselves. I recently looked at pictures taken at a couple of my baby showers, and here's what I learned. Sleeveless and 9 months pregnant is not my best look. Pressing those hams against my sides make them look bigger than my thighs. And for girlfriends like Christy, who got mysterious tiny red bumps on her upper arms, this was adding insult to injury. Clearly, sleeves that come down to just above the elbow can be our friend. The interview with Britney Spears and Mount Lauer will go down in infamy, if not as a cautionary tale about chewing gum on network television, then as an example of how pregnancy can beef up a girl's chest and shoulders so much that she looks like a linebacker. I experienced this myself, so this is no disrespect for Brit. It's just worth noting because spaghetti straps and tight armholes may only make the problem appear worse. Fashion is our friend when we embrace its ability to fool the eye. Breaking up the broad expanse from cleavage to clavicle with a neckline that extends straight across from armpit to armpit can be far more tidy looking than the low V-neck of many casual tops. You don't need to button up to there to look pulled together, but only the girlfriends with the smallest of breasts can get by with the minimal bust support and full disclosure of the cleavage. If there's a noticeable cleavage line that's longer than 4 inches from the top of the crease to the top of the blouse, you risk letting the milk factory, not your belly or your beaming face, become the featured attraction, especially when sitting in a chair and leaning slightly forward toward your interviewer. Another sign that it's time to adjust your fashion silhouette is when your bust starts to rest on your belly like a walrus on a rock. The optical effect of that merger is like that of the prow of a ship, and the fashion antidote is an empire waist or a band of some kind breaking up that line. Gwen Stefani wore the most beautiful dresses when she was pregnant. The fabrics were brilliantly exotic and finely detailed. But if you look closely, all of those dresses had a visual contrast in cut and color between her bust and her baby belly, not to mention a bit of a sleeve toward the end. She never looked massive and shapeless, but rather chic, sexually voluptuous, and irresistibly pregnant with a bump that looked reassuringly proportionate. You might choose an empire cut or make one yourself with a belt or ribbon or tied shrug. However, you break up the visual line between bump and boobs, just know that doing so can go miles toward distinguishing you from Quasimodo. Keep this in mind. You girlfriends expecting multiples because this fashion tidbit will stand you in particularly good stead as your girth expands. People love a baby bump. You'll want to protect it, rub it, and rest your arms on it. Your mate may be inclined to massage it and put an ear to it to see if anything can be heard. Your best girlfriend will probably be willing to place a hand on the spot where you last felt a kick and let it rest lightly there in hopes of filling the next one. A pregnant belly is one of the most irresistible sights in nature. For this reason, it's also a particularly complex fashion consideration. Way back in the olden days of my first pregnancy, a woman put several protective layers between her baby and the outside world. If someone had suggested that I wear jeans that buttoned under my belly and a blouse that flowed loosely to just below my navel, I would have felt faint. The thought of a breeze blowing my top up to reveal any of my pregnancy, or of some stranger being able to slip a hand up underneath to touch the tight skin of my belly, would have been so anxiety-provoking that I would have taken to my bed. In those dark ages, my girlfriends and I wore pants and skirts with belly panels that came up well and over our bumps or dresses that draped from collar to the hem, with an empire style thrown in now and then. These days, the belly is often out there for all to see, and some to touch, especially among the girlfriends who appear in Us or People. One thing that the hip bumps have in common seems to be a tan. Whether it be UV-induced or painted on, the smooth brown belly is fashionable. Call me crazy, but I think pregnant women are most apt to allow their tummy to be out in the elements when it's tan, rather than a virgin to sun and cosmetics. I guess a little airbrush tan never hurt any belly, but the risk of sunbathing still apply to pregnant women, even if they are suffering from hormone hysteria, and the girlfriends give it a thumbs down. No matter how you feel about your brazen belly, almost all pregnant girlfriends hesitate a moment when their belly buttons begin to claim a life of their own. Like a butterball turkey timer, my navel popped, changing from an innie to an outie by my third trimester. Let me hasten to add that it always went back to innie after the baby was born, so you won't always look like a giant nipple. But the more it protruded, the more squeamish I became. Not only was I repelled by the thought of a complete stranger or even a casual acquaintance running a hand over it, I myself was unwilling to touch it, except with the washcloth in the shower. My girlfriend Mary used to put a big Band-Aid over her belly button every morning, and it worked pretty well, but pulling it off every night was irritating to her skin. I recently found the most ingenious solution online called Popper Stoppers, and I'm truly impressed by American ingenuity. These super thin latex-free second skins claim to adhere to the skin, but not to the navel, and to be invisible under clingy satins or smooth tees. But by the 7th or 8th month, however, almost all moms with a sense of style or a modicum of modesty have turned to tunics, long shirts, or maternity tops, grateful for the added coverage and adjusted proportions of clothes designed to accommodate a baby belly. Particularly fabulous is the camouflaging of the hips and fanny that these tops provide. One undeniable risk of clingy tops or dresses is not just their tendency to accentuate the odd shapes of a pregnant belly in its final days, but also that they are just as attracted to a girlfriend's bottom. Once again, let me sing the praises of the three-way mirror, girlfriends. Never forget that the backside may be growing nearly as quickly as the front. Maybe it's part of the milk factory's need to store fuel. Or maybe it's nature's way of buttressing our struts to make sure we can support the new addition. But it's there. I remember an anthropology class in college that showed pictures of gorilla moms walking on feet and knuckles with their babies riding atop their haunches. We may not drag our knuckles anymore, but the haunches seem to be our evolutionary holdovers. And I use them as perches for my older kids and subsequent pregnancies. As I've mentioned before, a pregnant woman retains an awful lot of water. And after a long day, you may notice that gravity brings most of it to your feet and legs. My girlfriend Andrea, who was pregnant with her son during the dog days of summer, described her feet as meatloaves and her toes as Vienna sausages. My girlfriend Caroline recently told me that she had cankles in the last days of gestating her twins. Her calves and ankles had mushed into one undifferentiated appendage. This is when your girlfriends who've already limped a mile in these moccasins have two things to tell you. First, put your feet up whenever you can. Second, think motorcycle boots, long hemlines, and dark stockings. Flip-flops or Birkenstocks may feel great in private, but they have nothing to offer to the stylish mom. Live for today. You will find more than enough fashionable clothing to get you through your 9-10 months of pregnancy and several weeks postpartum. You will also notice that the best clothes cost as much as their non-maternity counterparts. A pair of $200 jeans that you can justify with the knowledge that you'll get a couple of years' enjoyment out of them is one thing. Their maternity cut counterparts for the same price are a lot harder to wrap your credit card around. Think about it. You may not even need new jeans, especially if you do the old trick of expanding your regular jeans waistline by wrapping a hair elastic around the button, through the buttonhole, and back around the button until you're about 5 months pregnant. Spending a couple hundred for maternity jeans that you'll wear for 4 or 5 months can give you pause. One thing the girlfriends can tell you unequivocally is this: never justify spending a lot of money on a maternity outfit by saying, "This is so cute, I can wear it after the baby is born." If you wear any maternity clothes 4 weeks after the baby is born, I will offer to eat them, girlfriend. There is no pleasure more profound than putting all those outfits into a box and giving them the old heave-ho after your belly disappears, even if you're still big everywhere else. Pass it on. My girlfriends and I developed a maternity lending library of fashion. Most women have more than one child, which means that the cost of buying a few key maternity clothes can be amortized against 2 or 3 seasons of wear. If you find 2 or 3 reproductive girlfriends, whether at your obstetrician's, your prepared childbirth classes, or in your neighborhood, you can form a clothing co-op. I did it with 3 girlfriends, and we ended up getting a 5th member of the co-op when a surprise pregnancy made her one of us. No matter when you conceive, you are bound to need one dress for a holiday/event. This can be expensive when purchased as a one-off, but if you agree to buy a LBD, little black dress, and your girlfriend Amy buys the festive, sexy party dress, and your girlfriend Mindy buys a long sweater wrap, and your girlfriend Corky buys 2 pairs of roll-top trousers, you're more than halfway to a fabulous maternity wardrobe. My girlfriends of the same reproductive eras as I realized what a treasure trove we had when we combined our resources, but not until several of us had gone through our first pregnancies as solo acts and had sunk a lot of money into outfits that were only briefly or never worn and then put into storage. Predictably, other girlfriends got pregnant with their first, and we returned for our 2nd, 3rd, and 4th trips down maternity lane and pulled those clothes out of storage. Soon we realized that with a bit of planning, even 2 girlfriends who were due virtually the same day could share a wardrobe. So many maternity clothes are cut so roomy and forgiving and adjustable that girlfriends who are size 4, 6, or even 10 when not pregnant can share the same clothes while pregnant. The biggest variation we noticed was in hemlines and cuffs, So we all bought our own double stick tape to temporarily alter the lending library's clothes. The total loss of short-term memory that is a hallmark of new mommyhood made the reappearance of the same outfits that we passed on only a year ago surprising and thrilling. Even after my own four were born and my gestation buddies were hanging up their maternity saddles, we had younger girlfriends who inherited our communal wardrobe for several more babies. Eventually, the collection included nursing bras, belly bands, surplus newborn diapers, and boppy pillows and bassinets. A little laundry and antiseptic soap rendered these things perfectly useful and economical. It was brilliant. We deserve to swim. The single most comfortable place for a seriously pregnant woman to be in is the water. I was addicted to my bathtub when I was pregnant, up until my water broke, or I passed my mucus plug, of course. Being buoyant was such a relief, and the comfort of refreshing water that wasn't too hot or too cold was so soothing that I could understand some women's desire for a water birth, though I couldn't see myself doing it. And since normal pregnancies last 40 weeks, chances are we'll all be blossoming at the same time that calls for a bathing suit. I don't think I passed through this fashion wicket successfully once in my 40 months of gestation. I'm one of those girls who gained 1 pound and show it in their thighs. I yearned to be obviously pregnant and lightly tanned and frolicking along the shore in a bikini, like Elle McPherson or Victoria Posh Spice Beckham. Instead, being of fair and freckled skin, showing enough cellulite to suggest I'd been pelted on my backside with cottage cheese, I tried to stay as far from all water recreation as possible. When I absolutely had to, I wore regular one-piece bathing suits in the beginning, with a pairo always attached to my tushy, but eventually my boobs needed the support of built-in bras, and I mean big ones. And my belly pulled the suit so far forward that the leg holes looked revoltingly revealing. By my third pregnancy with my second son, I met up with my in-laws to take all the kids to Disney World in July. Orlando in the summer at 7 months pregnant was a hardship only a woman who has walked in those moccasins with two tiny children in tow can know. I never cooled off. Not in the room, not at night, not in Epcot, nowhere. The pools and pretend beaches surrounding our hotel were calling to me like the Nestea plunge, and I wanted to respond. So I bought a navy blue and white maternity one-piece. Nautical and maternal are linked in some way I've never figured out. Maybe the thinking is, if it looks like a ship, treat it like a ship. It may or may not have had a panel or skirtish thing. I don't recall, because I experienced post-traumatic stress syndrome over it and have no memory of the entire time. I have since seen pictures, however. And I've learned that, first, we women are entitled to swim no matter how imperfect we feel. And second, by the 6th or 7th gestational month, unless you are a supermodel over 6 feet tall or a celebrity with an eating disorder, most of us girlfriends just won't be rapturously showing off any bathing suit. The good news is, by that time in your pregnancy, no one is really looking at you and saying, "Look how pudgy and lumpy she is." They are saying, "Isn't she just adorable, that little mommy? She looks so healthy." We are no longer held to Nicole Richie or Lindsay Lohan standards because it's obvious we're busy doing something else far more important. Thank you very much. I mean it, girlfriend. Nobody cares except you and maybe a shell-shocked partner who hasn't said one thing right for months now anyway. Go ahead and smear your oils and anti-stretch marks potions on and massage your belly right out in the public if you want. I guarantee they all secretly wish they could be you or your close personal friend. 10 years after I wrote the first edition of this book, I can enthusiastically say that you have more chances of maternity bathing suits now. They have now lost the tinting and skirts of the previous decade and sleekly support your belly with invisible panels. They also architecturally defy gravity by holding your heavy bosom up and off that belly, which actually makes you look smaller because the total mass is broken up, thus making each part look smaller. Not to mention that it's nice to take a load off your back for a while. Tankinis, one of the best new styles made for the preggers, are cut longer than the non-maternity versions to cover up most of the belly, while offering more booty coverage and lifting up off your thighs too. Those attributes are so good that you may want to wear a bathing suit even in the comfort of your own house. More about undergarments that achieve those things later in this chapter. Oh yeah, in hindsight, my advice is to skip the navy and white entirely, unless you're a merchant marine or in the navy. Now is the time for color. You should boldly encourage admiring looks from strangers, because you are Superwoman. You are growing an entire person inside of you all by yourself. You are to be applauded whenever people see you, for you are following your biological imperative and moving the DNA into the future. Plus, vivid colors and prints can distract from the cottage cheese effect. One last thing about bathing suits and maternity. You can burn in places you never knew you had, not to mention that the skin reacts completely differently to the sun and other elements when pregnant. So use a sunscreen every day and a sunblock on the sensitive areas, bosom, upper legs, around the bottom of the bathing suit, and need I even say it, face. Chelasma, or the mask of pregnancy, which many mommies get while gestating, is made garish with the darkening effect of the sun. Sunbathing is so unnecessary these days anyway, with richer and deeper tans from lotions and airbrushing. And take it from this mommy veteran. You never want to be asked if you're the child's mother or grandmother. So treat your complexion now the way you'll treat your baby's bottom, until you get your hands on it. The garments under the garments. I see London, I see France, I see someone's underpants. I know they are still sold in stores, but I haven't found a single woman who wears big, over-the-belly maternity panties in nearly 20 years of prying into private matters. Thongs are popular with many of my pregnant girlfriends, but I can't bear them even when I'm not pregnant. Far more comfortable to many of the fashionable pregnant set are the thin lace elastic hipsters or bikinis, such as those delicious hues of Hanky Panky or Casabella. Pricey as they may be, but you can get less expensive versions that are equally wonderful at Victoria's Secret. All you're really looking for is something with a cotton liner and a smoothing band of elastic to grip that uncharted territory between your belly and your pubic bone. And lovely bright colors can be a mood elevator of the non-prescription kind. Speaking just among us girlfriends, even if you, like I, often prefer going commando, it's not usually a good hygiene choice during maternity. I believe I've mentioned before that things get rather, how should I say it, tropical down there. Between the intimacy your thighs must be experiencing just now, the added fluids of perspiration and vaginal secretions, there's just no dainty way of saying this. You could probably bake bread down there. But that's exactly why being panty-free is so irresistible, you may say. And to that I say, knock yourselves out if you're wearing cotton breathable drawstring pants, or you're naked except for a tampon, which is not recommended by the girlfriends, or if you're sitting on a beach towel somewhere. Any other scenario might just not be as fresh as a girlfriend would like. Girdles, slings, and pantyhose, oh my. You might think that girdles and pantyhose would be the last thing a nice, big, pregnant woman would want to wear. Unless, of course, you are as white, freckled, and blue-veined as I. They sound stiflingly hot, restrictive, unattractive, the supreme buzzkill, and maybe even not good for the baby. To my girlfriend Andrea, the worst thing about having anything over her belly was her inability to get in a good tummy scratch from time to time. And yet many of my most rational and free-spirited girlfriends have made a good case for slipping into the shield and support of pantyhose and girdles or body smoothers. First, as my girlfriend Cherie told me, until we're about 5 months pregnant, most of us don't look unmistakably preggy. We could have just as easily put on the undifferentiated, read lumpy, weight gain by being premenstrual and chugging a few too many venti frappuccinos. By the 6th month, the pregnancy is big enough to provide the horizontal tent pole that gives us